All right, well, why don't we see if we can get started then? What I have done tonight is I have invited Diedrich and Claudette from Choose Again in order to talk to us a little bit. I want Diedrich to talk to us a little bit about his history, because I think his history applies in this case. It's not just a story. It has something to, it applies to the work that he does at Choose Again. I also would like to hear a little bit about the process that they use at Choose Again, a little, maybe a story about a success that they've had there. I understand they have an 85% success rate, but I'm sure they have a story they can tell us that will help us understand the miracles that happen at Choose Again. I've also invited some other people that have been at Choose Again, Susan Braverman, Raina Avalon, Nikki Dobson, and so I would like to hear from them in this hour, too. What I'm going to do, though, assuming he can take the mic, is we're going to start with Diedrich. So, Diedrich, I'm going to turn the mic over to you, and again, what I would really love to hear you share about first is your history, that beautiful history you have. And then a little bit about what happens at Choose Again, maybe a, you know, one really nice story of a miracle. And then when you feel you're ready, turn the mic back over to me, and then we'll invite Susan and Raina and Nikki to share. Diedrich, the mic is yours.
Okay, I'll start with a little bit about the background. I spent 3 years or so of my early life in Japanese concentration camps, which left me with an immense, immense level of guilt, because as I found out much later in a holotropic breathing, what I made up is that everything that happened in the camps, everything that I saw and witnessed was my fault, and I was guilty for all of that. And so I lived my life in a really profound, deep sense of guilt. And it's the level of guilt that all of us live in, except all of us have different stories in order to arrive at that guilt. But the stories in themselves are not relevant. The story is completely irrelevant. What really matters is what I do with the story and where do I take it from there. Well, where I took it originally, a lot of drugs, a hell of a lot of booze, a lot of other fairly disastrous self-destructive behavior, and then eventually I got to the point about 20 years ago where, as the Course says so eloquently, I realized that there had to be a better way. And at that same time, of course, that's not a coincidence, the Course came into my life. I took a year of doing nothing but studying the Course, meditating, absorbing everything that I saw and felt and experienced in the Course. And I knew that I had come home in a very deep, deep level. I never had any trouble with the Course language. I initially had to work with the word God and Father, but that didn't take long because I realized that the ego was simply putting up some roadblocks to prevent me from accessing the incredible joy that's available if I actually apply what the Course teaches. So in that year, for the first time in my life, I followed instructions. Before that, I can tell you I played international sports, but I was completely uncoachable. People didn't absolutely had no desire to work with me, play with me, do anything. But when I started the Course, I said, okay, I'm not doing that anymore. For the first time in my life, I'm going to follow instructions. Even today, if you give me a recipe, I won't be able to follow it because my authority issue is still alive and kicking, and following a recipe is something I just will not do. But I did follow the recipe to come to a state of being that I had never, ever anticipated as being possible, as the level of happiness and joy and pure acceptance that I had barely read about, let alone thought would be an option for me. And I have never looked back from that moment when I first really said, okay, there has to be a better way, or I will put an end to this miserable little life of mine. I haven't looked back. There have been many times, of course, that I've had black depression, that I've had black anxiety, that I've had huge anger, and all the other stuff that still comes up from time to time. But I now have the tools. And that means that the actual experience of all of those is really limited to a very, very short period of time. If I get angry now, it's seconds. If I get sad now, I immediately jump on it and say, okay, what am I believing right now? Because whatever it is just not true. Is that Susan Braverman just came into the room? Wonderful. Hi, Susie. How are you? That's my life story in a very short synopsis. If you have questions about more information on that, the practice of the course and the process that we distilled out of the course has proven to be effective with but every single symptom of manifestation that people can come up with. Whenever I look at my own manifestations of guilt, it was a very heavy drug use, incredible amount of booze that I consumed. I drank an average of a bottle of vodka a day. And for a number of reasons, but I always look back on that time, and now when I work with people who are doing, who have similar manifestations, similar symptoms, I recognize that really what is going on is there's two things. One, I'm trying to kill the self that I hate, and that's the ego. And I'm also still seeking. So there's a dual purpose in drug abuse. And I've never met a drug addict or an alcoholic who wasn't at a really deep level a seeker. And that's why I find it very exciting to work with people that have these issues. Having said that, we're now working considerably less with addictions than we were maybe 10 or 15 years ago when addictions was the primary focus of my work. Now the primary focus of the work really is much more helping people to get off medication, helping people to recognize that whatever label their psychiatrist or health provider has given them is absolutely untrue, and help people to recognize that whatever label they've been given can be transformed, almost as if the label is a special relationship. And so the label of the special relationship of the label, that let's say it's bipolar. At one point there were maybe four people here and 12 of them were bipolar, and it's an epidemic. I think anybody that has even level of mood swings and goes sees his doctor or psychiatrist immediately is labeled bipolar and immediately is given medication. And as soon as you get the medication, you may feel better for a very brief period of time. And then, of course, because the issue has nothing to do with medication, the issue has to do with who I think I am, it becomes clear that either I have to increase my dosage, I have to take more medication, or I have to say, this is not working. And the people that come here have decided that this is not working. The people that come to see us, either at the center or in workshops, are people who have really come to a point where they said there has to be a better way. And the better way is absolutely available. There's no question about that. It's so doable. It is so... I don't even know how to put it. It's so within reach of absolutely anybody. Having said that, there are circumstances where a mind is so convinced of the beliefs it made up at a very early age that it manifests itself as, say, borderline personality or schizophrenia. And in those two, exactly, Regina, what you wrote there is absolutely perfect. Who do I think I am? Is the question that I ask all the time. Who? Okay, I'll put it in the shortcut to my work, our work, is very simply this. If I'm not happy, I'm believing something that is not true. what is that belief? So the belief that I'm not loved, belief that I'm not good enough, the belief that I'm not supported, that those are some of the ones that I've worked with, are absolutely not true. And what I have to do is transform those beliefs. Do a very simple forgiveness. The Course is all about forgiveness. But the forgiveness, the way I read the Course, has nothing to do with anyone else. The forgiveness only has to do with who do I think I am. Because who I think I am is absolutely not who I am. Who I think I am is a little self that I made up during the early, somewhat tumultuous years in Indonesia. But that self has absolutely nothing to do with who I am. The question of who I think I am can be expanded into physical issues as well. I'll give you a little example of that. I have some fairly significant back issues. I've had two back surgeries. I have stenosis, and sometimes the pain is really quite noticeable and highly unpleasant. And the question I do ask then is, who is the I that is in pain? And there has not been a pain that I haven't been able to completely release with that question. The last 8 years, I've passed 3 kidney stones with that question. So the pain comes on. I know I've had enough. I've had 5 kidney stones in my life, so I know what comes. It feels like there's a train coming on. The pain comes on like a train, but if I stop and say, who is the I that is having this pain? The pain is immediately gone. It's an incredible tool. And everybody I've taught this has used it and has found... I'll give you a funny little story. Last week I was in Vancouver, and I had to take a cab to go somewhere. And I got in the cab, and there was a nice, wonderful Punjabi gentleman. And I said, how's your day? And he said, oh, it's not so good. And I said, well, what's up? What's happening? And he said, well, I didn't sleep very well, and I've got a really bad headache. And I said, wonderful. Do you want to keep that headache? And he looked over his shoulder as if I was from Mars, because that was a stupid question. First of all, I said, wonderful, which he didn't expect. And second of all, the question, do you want to keep it, is a silly question from his point of view. And he said, no, of course I don't want to keep it. And he said, well, I said, would you be willing to do a little exercise? And he said, sure. So I said, ask yourself, who is the I that has the headache? And he said, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, the I that has the headache is not who you are. You are spirit. You cannot have a headache. It's impossible for you to have a headache. And he said, okay, I'll try that. And within 2 seconds, he turned around. He said, headache is gone. And then he was so adorable. He dropped me off where I had to go, and he said, where do you have to go after this? And so I don't know. I'll just walk for a while. He said, no, I'll wait for you, and I'll give you another ride. And so it was a wonderful experience of hands-on, practical application of the very simple question of who am I? The I that I am in truth could never be depressed. The I that I am in truth, which is the self, the capital S self, could never be angry. The self that I am in truth could never be betrayed, could never be abandoned, could never be alone. And that's really sort of the work that we do. So in the workshop that Regina is so generously organizing for the spring in Colorado, we will be looking at a number of things. First of all, we'll start exploring May 3 to 8. Thank you. I look so much forward to being there. First, we'll start exploring who do you think you are. Then we'll look at, most people that come there will have some very good ideas that who they think they are is not who they are. And yet, at this point, they may not have the tools yet to transform the I that they think they are. We'll also be looking at what I value in my life. And that's a very interesting exercise. And I can't remember what lesson that came from. I could look it up, but I can't remember. But it comes from a lesson in the Course where basically I have to ask, what is important in my life? What do I value? Because if I'm unhappy, Okay, wonderful. We'll use that one. That's probably the one it is. If I am not happy, I'm valuing something that has no value. And the way to figure out what that is and how to transform that is to make a long list of everything that's important, both good and bad, both negative and positive, both desired and not desired. So on the list will be, if you have children, your children. If you have a partner, your partner. If you believe that being an American is the best thing in the universe, then being an American will be on the list. Some people might even have sex and chocolate on the list, not necessarily in that order. Whatever is on the list, it represents something that you value. And then the question that we ask of ourselves at that point is this. If it is true that I'm spirit and nothing but spirit, and it is true, then all these things, not one single one of them, has any value at all. Okay, I accept that. So then I go back to the list, and I take off 95% of everything that's on the list. But I'm left with 2, 3, 4, 5 things that I simply am not prepared to recognize as having no value. Those are the ones that are chosen by my core beliefs. Sex with chocolate is, of course, the ultimate. And then if you, in the days that I smoked, the cigarette would go with that even better. But does that? I hope that makes sense to people. And I think I'm going to hand it over now to the other people. Regina asked this for a specific example. I think the cab driver, even though it was only a 10-minute exchange, is an example of how incredibly effective the question of who am I is. And I know that Regina is intimately familiar at a level that probably none of us are with Ramana Maharshi's teaching. And that is the question that you ask. That is the question that really I ask all day. Who's the I that is hungry? Who's the I that needs to go to sleep? Who's the I that feels lonely? And then the answer inevitably is, that is not me. So I go further and further and further in that question till I end up in the nothingness that I am. And the nothingness is a joyful nothingness. It's a beautiful place to play. It's a beautiful place to be. And from that nothingness, I come out and play in the illusion, never losing sight of the fact, of course, that it is an illusion. Okay, so now I'll step back and I'll listen for your comments or for the next person to say a few words.
Okay, so stay on the Skype, and I'm going to let go of the mic for Regina or someone else.
All right, yes, thank you, Diedrich. That was beautiful, and as Susie said, it is wonderful, wonderful to hear your voice. Diedrich went with me to Israel last March, and so we got to know each other a little more intimately there. And then, of course, I saw him again at Be the Love in August, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again in May. I also met Claudette at Be the Love in August. Looking forward to seeing her. I'm going to tell a brief Choose Again story, even though I've never been there, and then I'm going to turn the mic over to either Raina or Susan, or if Nikki's here, Nikki, whichever one wants the mic first. But my story has to do, there was a young man that lived here in Pueblo West. This young man had been troubled since about age 13. And from what I am told, you know, beginning at age 13, he became kind of antisocial and depressed. As far as I know, he never did any drugs, any illegal drugs. I don't know if he had medications from time to time by the doctor, but really what he did is he kind of retreated into his bedroom and into the world of online gaming. And when I knew this young man, he was already, you know, somewhere in his 20s, and, you know, he had tried going to college, but they had actually asked him to leave the college because it was a small college where teamwork was important, and he wasn't able to work well on a team. He was not able to get a job. And so here he was, a young man, and I don't remember, maybe his mid-20s, 23 to 25, somewhere in that range, and you know, kind of going nowhere, staying in his room, gaming. When he came out and you know, to get something to eat, and when you spoke to him, his eyes never met your eyes. He always looked down at the floor. His head just kind of hung down. The most you could get out of him is maybe a little bit of a yes nod or a little bit of a no nod. But he just didn't interact with people at all. Well, his mother was inspired to send him to Choose Again when he one day told her that he was thinking about committing suicide and he wanted help. That's kind of important. He came to the point of saying he wanted help himself. And so she was inspired to send him to Choose Again, and she asked him if he would go. And he said yes. And my guess is the only reason he had said yes is because he had no idea what he was getting himself into. but he went. And from what I understand from people who were there, at first he was not very responsive there either. But then there came a day when he began to respond and began to participate. He came back here. He was there about 8 weeks. He was supposed to be there for 6 weeks, but because of how long it took to get his return flights, I think it was 8 weeks that he was there. But I will tell you that when he came back, it wasn't even like the same person. In fact, right this second, even thinking about it, I have chills, literally chills. He came back and his eyes were so clear, and he looked me directly in the eye. He had conversations with me. He was laughing and you know, talking about things that happened on the soccer field in Costa Rica. And I mean, he was like a completely different person. It was amazing that such a turnaround could have happened in a mere 8 weeks. It's just really unbelievable. I call it a miracle, nothing short of a miracle. Shortly after that, he got a job. He actually became promoted very, very quickly through his job. It is now years later, and he is still I'm going to call him a normal living human being. He's not an overly spiritual type, but he is a functioning human being, where before he really wasn't. So that's the kind of thing that happens all of the time with Choose Again. And this is why I am so pro Choose Again. And this is why, you know, I've invited Diedrich and Claudette to come to the United States, because a lot of people that I think would really, really benefit from the Choose Again experience, when they hear they have to go to Costa Rica for weeks, you know, something in them just doesn't go. But maybe if you just come here 30 minutes down the street from my house for a week, you know, maybe you'll do that. So, and I really think it's worth it. I think that they work miracles. So what I would like to do now is let some of the other people who have direct experience with Choose Again speak. Again, Susan is here. Susan Braverman is here. Raina is here. I haven't noticed yet if Nikki is here. But if one of you all or two of you all or all three of you all would put up your hands, I will call on you in the order that I see the hands. Okay, Susie is first, so the mic is yours.
Okay, can you hear me? I'm on a new computer, or an old computer in another room. Yes, great. Hi, everybody. God, Dietrich, it was great to hear your voice. I did not know anything about Course in Miracles or anything spiritual or anything like that. I sent my daughter down to Costa Rica because I felt that she was lost, and I'd seen some amazing, amazing work with hi, Dietrich. I saw some amazing work with Jocelyn and Matthew, and also with Letitia, who came back with a little book called Love is Letting Go of Fear from Jerry Jampolsky, which we now have, like, I think 10 copies in my office. And I had this idea that I would be going down to Costa Rica. My daughter went down for 8 weeks, and I was joining her for the last 2 weeks, because as it works in Costa Rica, the family is invited down to come and share and share in the family member's experience, which I can remember when Letitia came back, and I was trying to ask her to explain how it works. You cannot explain it. it's not something you put into words. Like, what do you mean you sit in a circle and somebody talks about their problems and yet everybody can relate to it? Well, the problems in form are, you know, form is just, it's nothing. It's the core beliefs of who we are. But I really did have this amazing idea that I would be going down
on it, my daughter would be totally healed, and I'm this fantastic mother who has been so selfless my whole life with her. I say that lovingly. A bunch of crap. And that I'd be coming home, and I'd be going down there, and she will have healed herself from her problems, and we would come back to Vancouver, and we'd just live life happily ever after. And as Diedrich remembers, it didn't quite go that way. My daughter was one of the few, although I still think everything is perfect. I see beautiful moments of right-mindedness in her. But when I realized that she was not unwilling to let go of her ego, because it was still much easier for her to just blame me for everything, that is when I can still remember Diedrich and Claudette were the ones sitting there, and they wanted to give me the opportunity in the 2 weeks that I was there to forgive myself. And I can still remember to this day. God, it seems like a lifetime ago. It's like, wow, what do you mean I need to forgive myself? I've done all these amazing things for my daughter. I've tried her whole life, art therapy, counseling, whatever it was. But that was just a bunch of fluff. And to go down and to forgive myself for everything I made up about myself. And then a blue book was put on my lap called A Course in Miracles. And I sort of had a very brief experience with people in Vancouver who were course students, or actually they called themselves course teachers back then, because in the community that I was introduced to very briefly in Vancouver, wasn't quite the way Jesus had the course lied out. It was a teachers and students, and people knew more than others. But my experience in Costa Rica really taught me that this world isn't real. And it is a playground, and we all have core beliefs about ourselves that are just none of our core beliefs, I don't think, until we're enlightened, and that doesn't include me, none of our core beliefs are that we are a beautiful, whole, pure creatures of, or we're just the sinless, perfect, equal children of God. Not at all. And so Diedrich is 6 steps to freedom. I can still remember how challenging it was to learn those steps and understand those steps. And now I look at it, and it saved me. It really, really, really did save me. Because this world is, this world, when I make the world real, because I can only speak for myself, the world is a very difficult eat or be eaten place to be, where there is so much right or wrong, good or bad, less or more, and that's what the world, at least that I live in, is all about. And for me now, I live in the dream. I live full-heartedly, completely into the dream, in the dream. I am definitely completely ingrained in the dream, but I am very grateful that the majority of the time I can remember that the dream is just a dream. It is my playground. It is the matrix, as I like to call it. And we can live in the world and not be of the world. And when we forget, it's very, very easy to remember again. The question, why? I'll never forget the first 3 days of being in Costa Rica. On 3 separate occasions, something was said, and I would say, why? And nobody even acknowledged that I asked the question. And then the next time I asked it, again, someone said something, and I said, why? And again, I said why, and again, nobody answered the question, so I knew that, there's something about the question why isn't good. And of course, I wanted to be a good choose again participant, because in the world, I always want to be the best at what I do. And then the third time I asked why, Dawn just leaned over very briefly to me and said, only the ego asks why. And I didn't know quite what that meant, but at the time, it just, to me, it set the tone. The answer was, ooh, ego, bad, bad, bad. And now I know that there's no bad and there's no good. There's none of that. None of that matters. Even the words that we use don't matter. For me, it's very, it's like, Diedrich, you were there right at the perfect time in my life. You just got me when I was willing, and you kind of got me in the gentle way of, hitting me over the head with a hammer. And that is exactly what I needed. And I used to think that I can't be with people who don't have the same kind of beliefs or light or beliefs. And I can absolutely get why it would be easier in this world to be around like-minded people. It would make it easier. But that's still a choice that I don't make. I love where I am. I love it. Dietrich, you might remember Michael, who had depression. Love this. Love Michael. Just love him. And we went shopping on 4th Avenue because I believed I needed some moral support to go buy clothes. And I walked into a store, and I said, I'll be right out. Well, I was out in half an hour. And I came back out and said, Michael, I'm so sorry you had to wait. And he just looked at me and said, you're not responsible for my happiness. And that's why it is easier to be with people who have the same mindedness. Same like-mindedness, but I do believe that we are whole and perfect and complete in any world that we are in. I mean, anywhere. And I love where I am. I love that I'm one of the few people in my office. I've never heard the word blame so much, and good and bad and right and wrong. But in chapter 6 of the course is, oh, I have to tell you, it's funny. I told my family to leave me alone, and now they're texting me messages. That form seems to be okay for them, is chapter 6, to have, give all to all, to have, give all to all, and to have peace, teach peace, to learn it, and be vigilant for the kingdom. And those are the three things that, for me, just make life absolutely perfect and whole and complete. And I don't know if Dove's around right now, but, you know, you gotta laugh. You really, really, really do gotta laugh. Thoughts are so unbelievably neutral. Unbelievably neutral. It's just the minute we let them sit down like seeds flying through the air, and then one lands and you know, and has roots and starts to, you know, become a plant, that's when all of a sudden, that's when the danger can happen. But Dietrich, you said to me, and this was one of the main things, is you said, my worth is not established by my company's success. You said to me, my worth is not established by my company's success. And when I was down there the first time, because I went down a second time, I went down for Christmas. It was a vacation. To me, Choose Again for me is a vacation. It really is. It's the best place to go. Absolutely a spa. It's unbelievably beautiful because the thoughts that come up and the fears and everything, it's the safest place to be. It really is the safest place to be, to pull up your crap and look at it and see it for the nothingness that it is. And for me, it's like, this is, I'm right-minded at this moment. Doesn't mean that 2 minutes I won't be, doesn't mean that 5 minutes I won't turn around again. But Dietrich, at the first time I was there, the Olympics were reaching me down at Costa Rica, and you're telling me, just let my company go out of business. Like, who cares? And I remember thinking to myself, you're a crazy man. You live in this area that's beautiful where you don't have, you know, hot water. You're not involved in the world. Of course, you'd have a crazy idea. But I get it now. Let my company go out of business. It's true, because it's meaningless. And so I have been very privileged since then to remember it doesn't mean anything. It only is all the meaning that it has for me. Yes, do not value what is valueless. No. And the best part of it all, the best secret, is that when I forget, the minute I remember, it's over. It's absolutely over. And how I word it in my office now, because it's very dangerous to use words like God and Holy Spirit and Jesus, and that's okay, that's fine, is that I talk about at the office, we all have this bucket. We're all a bucket. You can throw as much water as you want in the bucket, but if there's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, I sing that a lot. If there's a hole in the bucket, then it doesn't matter how much love or, you know, how much love or truth or whatever we pour into other people's buckets, there's a hole in it. The water will just go through. And so I will often watch with staff, just the plug goes down just like that, and they will change their mind just like that. And that means then that's what we call it. It's like, you know, there's a hole in my bucket. And that's just the way it is. So I'm going to let go of the mic. The 6 steps to freedom, it's, you know, it's like, I really can't wait to go back to Costa Rica. When I was having, I guess when I first got into my relationship with with Wade, which, oh my God, you want to challenge yourself? Fine, you know, create a husband and a child. That's the best way to do it. Now I have two children. And my son already knows that there's the only thing in the world that matters is love. That's it. But, I would love to come back down there. I would love to, when I was having a tough period a while ago, adjusting to just the distance from work and all of that, Wade said to me, you know, don't turn this the wrong way. there is a wrong way or right way. But why don't you go down to Costa Rica for a couple of weeks and then I'll help you out. Well, of course it'll help me out. It's a spa. There is a spa. There's nothing to do in Costa Rica except be the truth of who you are. And I don't have any problem letting go of my beliefs any time. I mean, Diedrich, you once told me that the reason I smoke is that I have a deep, dark hatred to myself that I'm unwilling to look at. And even you saying that to me was just a beautiful gift. It's like everything is a gift. And I call this place Planet Rehab, where we've all chosen to be here together. We've willingly chosen to be here with each other together because we all are on the same path. We're all on a path of awakening, and it's all the same path for everybody. There might be different roadmaps, but we're all on the same journey. So it's quite beautiful. So I'm going to let go of the mic, see if I can find some louder speakers so the rest of the people in my house can hear you. I love you all, and I'm letting go.
Thank you very much, Susan, for sharing. That was wonderful. Raina, I'm going to turn the mic over to you now.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Diedrich. How's my sound? Good? Okay, thank you. When I first went to Choose Again, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago. I don't even remember. And I was in this, you know, I've studied the course, you know, since for many, many years. And I was missing. Yes, it was right after the St. Louis Need to Love. And I was missing some pieces that just something was not clicking for me. And I was, I've been diagnosed, let's see, 26 years ago or so when I was, well, no more than that, 28 years ago with bipolar disorder. And it started my bout with serious depression, and I was very suicidal, and I just wanted out. I was tired. I'd had enough. You know, I was done playing this game, and I wanted out. And Diedrich said, well, come to Costa Rica. And I said, well, but I can't come. And he said, well, come. And he was very persuasive. So I actually had gone to the St. Louis Be the Love to like see my friends and to say goodbye to people. And I had a plan to kill myself on my way when I got home. But I went to, so Diedrich gave me hope. I said, but you don't understand. There's no hope for me. You know, with all the therapy and all the years of medication, and now when I got to Choose Again, I was up to like 4 or 5 diagnoses, and I was on over 8 different psych meds at the same time. And they really told me, I was really convinced that I would never know life without medication. And I was convinced I was crazy. Yeah. And I'm not fun now. Anyway, I got so much out of the experience, I know. I got so much out of the experience. And I went there during the time of my father's death, and that came out in a circle. I just started bawling one day in a circle and realized that I had thought love, I lost love when Muffa died. And I hadn't slept for 30 years because of trauma, so-called trauma. And it caused me to wake up startled at like 2:30 every morning. So all I slept was from about 10 to 2:30 every morning. And I would wake up with the startle and I couldn't go back to sleep. They call it PTSD hallucinations. My computer's doing something. After about 2 weeks there, I woke up at 2:30 in the morning, same as always, and couldn't go back to sleep, and I was journaling. And I realized, it really struck me how the component of the story, how invested I was in the story, all the stories that made up my life, they were all stories. And here I was, I had allowed this story to keep me from sleeping for 30 years. And it was like the magnitude of it, just overwhelmed me. And I said, enough of that stuff. I'm not giving away another night's sleep to that story. It was just a story. And I had such a victim and so strongly attached to my victimhood that it was difficult for me to see my way out of that. But as I stayed a month that first time I went, and I've been fortunate enough to go back, and each time I have incredible insights into my psyche and into, the dream that I think I made up. That's right. Who am I without my story? I really thought I would disappear without my story. If you took that away, what did I have left? Who was I without my victimhood? And that was one of the greatest gifts was, that's right, yeah, so that's one of the greatest gifts that I've received is being able to step out of that victim spot and to really, embrace life today and, to believe that there can be life without medication and to live, without having to be right. One of the greatest awarenesses I got is that I don't have to be right for me to be okay with me. Like, it doesn't matter if I'm right. I was able to give that up. I used to go into a panic at the thought that I was wrong or that I was on the defense a lot because I had to be right. And I was able to give that up. And a lot of my beliefs, about there being something wrong with me, and because I really believed that there had to be something wrong with me. Otherwise, because all those doctors for all those years said there was something wrong with me. And that, when I went to choose again, it was the first time somebody really held the space for me so that I didn't have to fall into that victim person. I was able to rise up out of that. So I see Nikki's here. So maybe she'd like to turn on the mic. But I can't say enough about the Choose Again program and the 6 steps. I mean, now I've got it down so that I can just say, what am I believing? Is it true? No. Move on. You know, when my peace gets disturbed, I'm aware of it now. And so thank you very much. And I hope to see you all at the conference in May. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Raina, for sharing so openly. We appreciate that. I see that Nikki and Sean have entered the room, so I'm going to turn the mic over to them next. Alan, I just got a private message saying that you might also have a Choose Again story to share. So if you do, please put up your hand and we'll let you go after Sean and Nikki. Nikki, the mic is yours. Nikki, are you able to hear me? We aren't able to hear you. If you tried taking the mic, we did not see it. You want to try again?
All right, how about now? Can you hear us now? Yay! For some reason, I had a red dot or a red wall. if Nikki's going to speak, I'll mute the Super Bowl. That's funny. Actually, Sean's in here right now, and I think Sean wants to share a little bit about his experience. Because I've spent some time in here talking about my experience with Choose Again, but I'm going to turn it over to Sean.
Hi, everyone. This is Sean. And not real sure where to start. I guess, hey, thanks, Cedric. I guess the biggest thing about Choose Again for me was that I was coming up on 10 years in recovery when we first found out about Choose Again. And despite being vigilant about working that program and applying it in every area of my life, I still had some things that were unresolved, I guess. So going to Choose Again, it was, in many respects, it was a continuation of that work. If people are coming from a 12-step background, I would equate it to the 6-step process or circle, or Choose Again in Costa Rica, certainly as the most in-depth 4th and 5th step that I've ever experienced. And as a result of that,
Diedrich said that it's often called the 13th step.
Yeah.
I think he knows what the 13th step
is. I think there were some people trying to accomplish some 13th step in there, but I wouldn't really say that. The net result for me was some of the more core beliefs I had that were still causing me irritation and upset, anxiety and stress. The thoughts about other people's perceptions of me and that I still believed those ideas were true. And Choose Again really helped me get to the core of my spiritual beliefs, and that, and the realization that, you know, I'm not my thoughts or beliefs. You know, my worth is not dependent upon either my own thoughts of myself or your thoughts of me. It is established, you know, before I come into this world, and is not changed by anything while I'm in it, nor once I leave it. So when I was able to get back to that truth and shine the light of that truth upon my beliefs, it transformed my experiences in the world and really allowed me to let go of a lot of anxiety, which led to maybe depression, certainly to depression. And I'd be happy to tell you, Diedrich, that I'm about 33 days without a cigarette now. And I attempted to do that when I was about 4 years sober, and it was a very difficult process, very, you know, because my head just went nuts when I go without a cigarette, especially when I was about 4 or 5 years sober. And the difference between doing it then and doing it in the past month was completely different experiences. I mean, what was similar was my head still went nuts and told me that I needed that, and that was my identity. You know, I still had some of the physical cravings, the physical withdrawal. But the main difference was my disassociation from the thoughts and beliefs in my head, and my ability to look at them in a different light.
How about your relationship with Riley?
My relationship with Riley. Oh, yeah. You know, my excuse for going to Choose Again was because my son needed help.
That's what he perceived you were going for.
And, you know, the realization there was, you know, my son needed help because I had all these beliefs that I was laying on top of him, and he was picking them right up. And as a result of transforming my own beliefs, you know, I stopped seeing him through that, through those lenses. And, you know, his, not only did my perception of his behavior change, but also his behavior did change. because, I don't know exactly why, but he had a huge transformation as I transformed. Mm-hmm. You know, the really good thing is that we're able to sit around and joke about this crazy things that our ego tells us, and we're able to look at them and, you know, share them with one another and realize that, you know, I don't have to believe that. I don't have to respond to those things in my head that that I could sacrifice my peace to.
The most amazing thing to me and is that Choose Again gives tools to anyone, whatever level that they're at when they get there. It gives them tools to be able to leave there, and any time that they have an upset, they still have those tools to use in their life. And that's what I saw you and Riley come back with, is the ability to have conversations that you weren't able to do before, you know?
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was like night and day. And you guys only went for 2 weeks.
Right. Well, we're quick studies.
That's good news, honey. All right. If you guys have any questions or want to know anything else, just let us know. But we're going to let go of the mic. Love you. Love you so
love
much.
Love you, DJ. Great to see you or talk with you.
Yeah, it was great to talk with you, Sean. We talked on the phone once upon a time, but other than that, we haven't really talked before, so that's nice. I might have a question for you, Nikki, but if you hang on a second, I'm going to turn the mic over to someone else first. David Hempel is here, and he has not been to Choose Again. However, Nikki has been to Choose Again as a volunteer. And when she came back from, I think you were there like a month or so, it seems like. And when she came back, she met David, and she was there for 5 weeks. And she worked with him using the Choose Again process kind of as a coach. Plus, David went and watched some videos of Choose Again and studied their six-step process. And so even though he hasn't been to Choose Again, he still feels, of course, that he has directly benefited from Choose Again. So what I'm going to do is turn the mic over and let David share his experience with Choose Again through Nikki videos and the Choose Again materials. David, and Nikki says he did some circles with their family. So yeah, mirroring what happens at Choose Again. David, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Yeah, Choose Again was just huge for me. I was done with everything, and I had decided that everything in my life was just not working the way I wanted it to, and I had basically quit my job. I told them I wasn't really going to be coming in anymore, and I stopped going to school. I stopped doing any kind of work. I hardly left my room. I didn't get out of bed for the most part, and unless I was getting drunk or getting high with some of my friends. And, you know, I went through probably about a month of that, and yeah, I was a junior in high school, and I was skipping school one day, and I had, you know, I had nothing that I could ingest. I didn't have any drugs or any alcohol, and I was skipping school, and I decided I wanted to disappear, and so I laid under my covers for 8 hours conscious, and I realized that disappearing was exactly the same as being there, because my thoughts just never went away. And I said, there has to be a better way, and I was so surprised when Deidre had said the same thing, but there has to be a better way or I'm ending this. And I, you know, being the teenager I was going to go on Facebook before I had decided that, you know, today was my last day, and I was going to go look on Facebook. And Nikki had shared a Choose Again post, a Choose Again video. And I had known Nikki because her son Riley, that went to Choose Again too, was my friend. And Nikki and I had actually, she had texted me sometimes, and she always talked about always being happy and no suffering and where they went in Costa Rica. All I knew is they went to a healing camp and it changed their life. I didn't know anything about it. And she shared that video, and I recognized that it said Costa Rica. And so I was like, well, I kind of put the pieces together, and I watched the Choose Again video. And, you know, one of the first things it said is that Choose Again, there's a better way. And it just hit. Because 5 minutes before, I said, if there's not a better way, I'm done. And I come into the video and they offer one. And I remember watching one of the circles that had Zoe in it. And I was watching one of the circles and I watched all of their videos. And I remember just crying and really seeing, wow, I can't believe they did all that in Costa Rica. And so I texted Nikki on Facebook, and I really wanted to have nothing to do with their family. So I was very sneaky, and I said, can you get me in contact with somebody that works at Choose Again? And she messaged me back, and there was never one time where Nikki had ever messaged me and it wasn't just absolutely love. And she messaged me back, and she said, I am a staff at Choose Again. And I had seen that, you know, she was right here and that I really needed help. And I set up to meet with her, and she wanted me to come over to her house. And that was about the last thing I wanted to do. And I went and opened the door and just dead triggered. I was completely shut down. I barely could walk. And I started talking to her, and just right there, we started, I think, looking at the Choose Again, and she introduced me to the course, and after that, we did some circles, and I was okay with talking with her, and she said, okay, we'll do circles with the other people in the family, too, and I wasn't having it, but eventually, everybody in the family ended up doing some circles, and I ended up spending a lot of time with Nikki and a lot of time with their family, even living there for like a month, and I definitely started my journey as well and my own inquiry. But Choose Again was a major part of my life, and even that I even made it through my junior year of high school because I was done. And so Choose Again really, not only does it obviously affect everybody who goes, but you see the people who come back and the difference they make in other people's lives. You know, I can be a direct example of that. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, David. And for anybody who's listening on the audio and can't see what's typed in the room, I just wanted to let you know that David is a high school student. He's a senior in high school now. He was a junior in high school when he was planning to kill himself and discovered Choose Again. I do have a question, Nikki. I think you can answer this question. When Diedrich was speaking, he mentioned the breathing. He mentioned some things he saw in the breathing that they do in Choose Again. And I have reserved space here in Colorado so that they can do the breathing. I remember the breathing was also, you know, it impacted you as well, the breathing experience. Holotropic breathing. Yes, that's it. Holotropic breathing. Nikki, do you want to share just a little bit about the Choose Again holotropic breathing? I'm releasing the mic. And the mic dropped, Nikki, after a quick giggle from you. So if you'd pick it up again.
Okay. All right. Hopefully I'm locked in. As soon as you said holotropic breathing, both Sean and I made a little sound. We both really enjoyed it. It's pretty amazing. For me, the very first holotropic breathing exercises that I did, what I experienced self with a capital S within all beings, and the experience was just amazing. It was breathtaking. I've never had anything like it, and it has been a catalyst for me to understand more deeply, I don't even have the words. I think even after we sat around and were discussing our experience, couldn't even find the words to share it then. But it completely shifted for me where I was at and how it is. Yeah, I would agree. Diedrich, I have done some hallucinogens, and there is no need. There is never a need for a hallucinogen. It's pretty incredible. And I will let it shine.
For me, I think we had done two breathings previously, and I really hadn't gotten a result out of them. It was just, well, I won't equate it to something else, but there's a lot of heavy breathing and not much else happening. Diedrich had been away from the center, and he we're going to leave the next day, I think, or the day after. And he said, we got to do another one because you really need to experience this. And I said, okay, fine, well, let's do it again. And I remember in the process, I think it was the piece that was playing at the time that I sort of had my experience. I think it was Beethoven's Concerto No. 5, Opera 73, Emperor, I believe. And I remember going into this crescendo becoming part of the music and floating on it, you know, is what it felt like. And, you know, I've done my share of hallucinogens and other stuff in my life. And I can't really equate this to any of the others because there was such a feeling of joy and peace. And I hadn't experienced that before. But, you know, in the middle of it, and, you know, as this is happening, I have this feeling, this thought, inspiration, and it just says, release your joy. And, that's in that moment, that's just what I experienced. Release of joy, and you know, I've been hanging on to all this stuff because of the need to fit into society's, what I felt was society's mold. And because of that, I was constraining my joy.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So it was an amazing experience. I'd do it again.
In a heartbeat. are you done? Because I was going to say one more thing.
Yeah.
Diedrich said, "As long as I think I am here, I am hallucinating." That's the wonderful thing about the holotropic experience that I had, is I really deepened my understanding that I am not here, and I am. That's the beautiful thing. But I wanted to just say one thing, because David had said that when he met me, I was all about happiness, and although my experience today is that of happiness, it's not. It's the ability to question my thoughts, the ability to question my thoughts. You know, to not believe that I am these thoughts. So the underlining experience is that I'm happy. I'm turning it back over. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nikki. And, you know, we had invited Alan to speak. He wrote in the room that he does not have a mic, but right now he's saying, ever since Choose Again, he does holotropic breath work every Friday evening. So, and Diedrich wrote in the room that they will do at least two of the holotropic breath sessions here at the event in Colorado. And again, that's why, if anybody has joined us a little late, that's why I wanted to invite all of these people here to share about Choose Again. Normally, it takes a plane trip to Costa Rica to experience the healing of Choose Again, but I have asked Diedrich and Claudette to come to Colorado. So they will be here May 3 through 8 at a retreat center just down the road from my house. And you can register and come and have a week of Choose Again there without traveling quite so far. It'll be less expense than going to Costa Rica. Lynn has just put a link in the room, but if you're listening to the radio or the audio, in order to register, you go to awakening-together.org. So there's a hyphen in the middle there. awakening-together.org. Click on events and then click on Choose Again Retreat in Colorado, May 2014. Diedrich, I'm wondering if you have any closing words you want to say before we wrap this up. Lynn, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Okay, so I've got to get you saying hot water is overrated. Let me get Diedrich back on the Skype. Because he hung up. Because I realize I can turn off my my sound. I don't know if he's, are you there to answer, Diedrich?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm back on. Okay. Can the room hear me?
Yes, they can hear you.
Okay, wonderful. And there's also the echo is gone, which is a miracle.
Yeah, I turned off my sound on my pal talk. I forgot.
This was wonderful. It was so good to hear David and Sean and Raina and Susie and Nikki. It's just phenomenal. And particularly also Regina's report on that wonderful young man. There's one little detail that you didn't add about him, which was sort of the form that his appearance took. He had very, very, very long hair, which covered his entire face most of the time. And so you could barely see him. And there was a moment when we had a symbolic coming back to the self or knowing the self when he cut his hair. And he came out in so many different ways, but it was beautiful to see his face suddenly shining, and his eyes, as Regina said, his eyes were shining too. It was gorgeous. In the week that we're there, we'll do yoga every morning. We will do some yoga nidra in the evening. We will have at least two holotropic breathings, if not more. We will do extensive meditations, and we'll do some very, very deep circle work. Our circles are a hell of a lot of fun. We've been in thousands of them, and I've never been in a circle that I didn't thoroughly enjoy, because every circle really is just people holding up a mirror for me to do my work and to do my healing, and that's the only reason I'm doing this. All of us work 5, 6, 7 days a week. And I use the word work, which is a ridiculous word, because it really is just being focused on my own healing, recognizing the insanity that still drives my tiny little 2-year-old ego mind, and to have people around me all the time that hold up the mirror and say, who you think you are is not who you are. And that's a huge gift. So I'm filled with gratitude for all of you in the room, for all of the people that have been here, for all of the people that will be here. And, my ego is about 2, I would imagine, 2 or 3. And I can trace it back. It's an unpleasant little bugger, I can tell you that. but I look forward to meeting you, all of you in Colorado, and we're just going to have fun. And if you have any questions, just email me. I'll type my email address. You can also email me if you want a copy of the 6-step process. We'll be happy to send you out an e-form of that. It comes in a PDF, so we can do that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Regina, for organizing this. And thank you for all the wonderful witnesses. It's great.
All right. Thank you so much, Diedrich. And I'm going to turn the mic back over to Regina.
All right. Thank you very much. Diedrich, I will send you a copy of this audio for you to post on your Facebook pages for people who might want to hear it. And then I will also post it for anybody in Awakening Together who wants to hear it or share it. It will be posted tonight under our member meeting audios, which is on the members menu on our website, awakening-together.org. And, you know, it was wonderful listening to everyone sharing. I really, really appreciate everybody coming here tonight with the Super Bowl to have so many people in the room. I'm impressed. And, again, if you want to come to this event, May 3 through 8, just go to awakening-together.org, click on events, and then look for the Choose Again in Colorado in May event. Do not get it confused with the Costa Rica event. That's a retreat with me at a place in Costa Rica, and it has nothing to do with Choose Again. So Choose Again in Colorado. All right, everyone, have a wonderful evening. I'm turning the mic over to Lynn and David for A Course in Miracles Original Edition.